الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة الاحزاب اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يا ايها النبي انا ارسلناك شاهدا ومبشرا ونذيرا وداعيا الى الله باذنه وسراجا منيرا وقال تبارك وتعالى كما ورد ثلاث مرات في القران في سورة التوبة وسورة الفتح وسورة الصف هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم ربنا ألهمنا رشدنا واعذنا من شرور انفسنا اللهم ارنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وارنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه امين يا رب العالمين Dear brothers in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I intend to talk this afternoon as to what was the purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Why was he sent? And number two, what are our duties regarding that purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? As you know, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also a prophet, a messenger, as so many prophets had come in this world. They say that more than 124,000 prophets came in this world, out of whom 313 were Rasul. So Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is also one of them. So the basic purpose of the advent of all the prophets and messengers is that they were sent to call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to call people. They were sent to give glad tidings to those who take to the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They were sent to warn those people who turned away from the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So these positions are held by all the prophets of Allah. Da'i, they are the callers to people towards the path of Allah. Nazir, Bashir, Da'i, and Murabbi, Muzakki, Muallim, all the prophets were Bashir also, Nazir also, Muallim also, Da'i also, Muallim also, Murabbi also, Muzakki also. All these things are there in the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also. So I recited the ayah of Surah Al-Ahzab, Ya ayyuhan nabi, inna arsalnaka shahidan وَمُبَشِّرًا وَنَزِيرًا وَدَعِيًا إِلَى اللَّهِ بِإِذْنِهِ وَسِرَاجًا مُنِيرًا. These five positions which are held by Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were held by all the prophets and messengers of Allah. Although in all these five the height to which Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam reached is definitely higher than any other prophet and messenger. But the special purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was something different. This purpose has been given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at three places in Quran. Surah At-Tawbah, Surah Al-Fath, Surah As-Saff. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. This part of the ayah is repeated without any change in any letter. No change whatsoever. Thrice. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. At two places in Surah At-Tawbah and Surah As-Saff, the ayah ends with the words, وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. But in Surah Al-Fath, it ends with the words, وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ شَهِيدًا. But the longer and more important part of this ayah has been repeated thrice without any difference, without any difference of any jot or dot. On the other hand, everybody who reads Quran knows these words have not appeared in Quran for any other of the prophets or messengers of Allah. So it is very significant. For Muhammad Rasulullah thrice, and for no other Nabi or Rasul, no other prophet or messenger, these words appear in Quran. That is why I am saying, this is the special purpose of the advent of Muhammad. The general purpose was the same. Da'wat ilallah, bashara, inzar, and education, all those things, they were common. But this is something extra, exceptional, which we don't find even with Hazrat Ibrahim, although he holds a very high position. Imam al-Nas, inni ja'iluka lin-nasi imaman. Wattakhadha Allahu Ibrahima khalila. Allah took Ibrahim as his friend. He was the father of so many prophets. Ishaq, Yaqub, Yusuf, Musa, Isa, and you know, a long chain of the prophets of Bani Israel. Then Ismail, Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa alayhi wa salatu wa salam. Then Hazrat Shu'ib, alayhi salatu wa salam. They were all in the progeny of Muhammad, of Ibrahim, alayhi salatu wa salam. But these words don't appear for him in Quran. Isa Ruhullah, alayhi salatu wassalam, but these words don't appear for him. Musa Kalimullah, but these words don't appear for him in Quran. So it's very important to ponder over these words. These are very important because they are giving the special purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Now you focus your attention on the words. It is He who sent His messenger. It is He, that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has sent His messenger, that is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with two things. Al-Huda, the guidance. The book which has the total guidance. Al-Quran, number one. And number two, Wad-Din al-Haq, the true system of life. The true system of life, Din al-Haq. And what for He has sent him? to make the deen of Allah, the deen of truth, supreme over all the systems of life. This was the mission assigned to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is the toughest mission. Now let us take each and every part. Allah sent Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam with two things. Number one, al-huda. Al-huda is Quran. All the prophets brought huda. Because in the very beginning it was said to Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, فَإِمَّا يَاتِيَنَّكُمْ مِنِّي هُدًا فَمَنْ تَبِعَ هُدَايَ فَلَا خَفٌ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا هُمْ يَحْزَنُونَ. All the prophets had been bringing huda, hidayat. In Surah Maida, Allah Ta'ala says, in the seventh section, إِنَّا أَنزَلْنَا التَّوْرَاةَ فِيهَا هُدًى وَنُورٌ. We sent down Torah, and in it was guidance and light. Then about Injil, فِيهِ هُدًى وَنُورٌ. In that also there was guidance and noor. But this guidance reached its zenith, its climax, its fullness in Quran. You know, we know that Torah was Book of Allah. But it didn't remain safe. Changes were made in it. Tarif. If Allah had given the guarantee that Torah will remain pure, nobody could make any change in it. But Allah didn't guarantee it. Why? Because the final guidance was yet to come. Injil was the book of Allah given to Sayyidina Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. But its preservation was not guaranteed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there were distortions, changes made. But about Quran Allah said, Inna nazzalna zikra wa inna lahu lahafizun. We have sent down this az-zikr, the remembrance. And we are the protectors. This guarantee was given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for Quran. Had not Allah given this guarantee, and had not Allah taken upon himself the responsibility to keep this book pure, we would have definitely made changes in them. Because as ulama know, in translations, changes have been made. In tafaseer, so many wrong things have been said. We would have changed this text also. But no, it cannot. La yatihil batil. No falsehood can come and attack this book. It is the protected book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why? Because the divine guidance reached its zenith. Because Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the final prophet, the last prophet. So the total guidance was given to him. And it was preserved for all times to come. Because after him, no prophet was going to come. No messenger was going to come. If any changes are made in Quran, who will rectify? No Nabi is going to come after him. So Allah preserved and took upon himself the responsibility of guarding Quran against any distortions or any changes. Because the hidayah that was progressing, you know, the human race, it has passed through many stages. There was a time that we can say that understanding of the human beings was very limited. So, limited guidance was given to them. You know, if you have a child who is reading in the primary classes, and you appoint for him a tutor who is PhD, but what the PhD will be able to teach him? He can't understand those things. So you have to teach him according to his level of understanding. So as the thinking power, the intelligence progressed in the humanity, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also raised the level of the guidance. It was being raised and raised and raised. But when human race became mature in their thinking, their ability to understand, now the final guidance, total guidance was revealed to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it was protected by Allah's decree that nobody can make any change in it. Number one. But another thing which was given to Muhammad was Deen-e-Haq. Here we have to ponder a little what Deen means. We all of us usually refer to Islam as Mazhab. Islam is not only a Mazhab, it's a Deen. What's the difference? Mazhab, according to the most of the people, consists of only three things. Some aqaid, beliefs, some rituals, modes of worship, some social customs. When a child will be born, what will we do? Aqiqah. When a marriage is to be solemnized, what will we do? Nikah. Ijab o qubool. If somebody dies, what will we do? We will not burn it. We will give him the kafan and then bury him. So these are social customs. Some people, they incinerate and burn their dead bodies. So these things, beliefs, aqaid, beliefs, dogma. Some modes of worship, as-salah, as-zakah, as-sawm, al-hajj, and then social customs. These things go to make mazhab. Deen is something else. Deen is the total system of life. You know, in Quran we find this word deen at two places. Deen al-Malik, Deen Allah. In Surah Yusuf, you must have read, and most of you must be remembering, when the brothers of Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam came to him, when there was famine, they came to get wheat. Among them was the younger brother, Binyamin, of Hazrat Yusuf. Yusuf and Binyamin were real brothers, same mother, same father. But the 10 elder brothers were from other mother. And they had jealousy with Hazrat Yusuf, and that is why they threw him into the well. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made him reach that position in Egypt that he was the chief. You may say he was the prime minister. He was not the king. The king was the person who saw that vision and dream and asked for its explanation. And when Hazrat Yusuf told it, then he took him out from the jail and said, you will be with me. Now when that famine came, now the brothers came. Those very brothers who had thrown him in the well. He recognized them, but they didn't recognize. They could never think that the brother whom we had thrown in the well, that this person, Aziz, Al-Aziz of Misr, he can be Yusuf. But you know, Hazrat Yusuf wanted to retain his real brother Binyamin with him. But there you find the words, مَا كَانَ لَيَأْخُذَ أَخَاهُ فِي دِينِ الْمَلِكِ. It was not possible for Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam to retain بالیامین اکارڈنگ ٹو دی لا آف دی لینڈ دین الملک اٹ واز دی کنگ شپ اینڈ دی کنگ واز دیئر اینڈ یو نو واٹ از دین الملک ملک از سپریم وٹ ایور ہی اٹرز از دی لا وٹ ایور دی تھنگ ہز ورڈ از فائنل اینڈ دی ہول لائف از انڈر ہم ہی کنٹرولز دی ہول لائف آف دی کمیونٹی سو دس از دین دین الملک سو ہیئر اگین لیٹ می سے دین اسلام از دین بٹ آلسو مذہب اٹ ہیز ایمانیات عقائد اٹ ہیز دی موڈز آف ورشپ صلاح اینڈ صوم اینڈ زکاۃ اینڈ حج اٹ ہیز سوشل کسٹم یس بٹ دین اٹ ہیز اے پولیٹیکل سسٹم آف اٹس اون اینڈ اکنامک سسٹم آف اٹس اون اے سوشل سسٹم آف اٹس اون سو تھری اینڈ تھری گو ٹو میک دین اللہ اینڈ یو فائنڈ دس ورڈ ان دیٹ importance and small surah اذا جاء نصر الله والفتح ورأيت الناس يدخلون في دين الله افواجا دين الله افواجا and I invite your attention to another fact never in Quran mazhab this word has not appeared it's Arabic word but never in Quran for Islam this word has occurred ان الدين عند الله الاسلام وَمَنْ يَبْتَغِ غَيْرَ الْإِسْلَامِ دِينًا فَلَنْ يُقْبَلَ مِنْهُ اسلام is deen not only mazhab yes it is mazhab also all the three things which go to make mazhab they are there present no doubt but over and above those three things it has a political system it has its own law the criminal law the civil law the law of inheritance the law of evidence all the laws governing the life of the community that it has an economic system riba haram gambling haram all these things had been made had been prohibited okay within the halal means you are okay go ahead but not haram then social system Islam doesn't want a mixed society. No, segregated. Women, men, different. Different spheres of their activity. Different responsibilities assigned to them. Then you know the rule of hijab. The rules about satr, covering of the body. All these things are there. The social system of Islam, economic system of Islam, political system of Islam, legal system of Islam, unless these are established, the deen of Allah is not established. Mazhab-e-Islam is there. I think you follow my point of view. Here I am taking a transgression. Today we find that Muslims don't have any respect in the world. Although they are one-fourth or at least one-fifth of the total population of this planet. What a wide area Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala of this globe He has put under the feet of the Muslims. Start from the farthest most, you know, island of Indonesia and go through the whole of Asia. And then the north of Africa and reached the Mauritania, solid Muslim population. And all the wealth, mineral wealth, is under their feet. But they don't have any respect. You know the things, international things are decided by G7, G9, G11, G13, G15. And in neither G7 nor G15, no Muslim countries there. No Muslim country in the Security Council. Now, if a new membership is going to come to UNO, it is of Bharat, not of India, not of Pakistan, not of Egypt, not of Saudi Arabia. Not. Why is this? Can it be without the permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? We believe that even a leaf of a tree cannot move without his permission. If we find that everywhere in the world the blood of Muslims is flowing, what has been happening for 60 years in Palestine? What has been happening for 60 years in Kashmir? What happened in Chechnya? What happened in Somalia? What happened in Bosnia and Kosovo? Then what happened in Iraq? What happened in Afghanistan? What is happening today even in the northern and western regions of Pakistan? What is happening? What is happening in Philippines? All these countries. Wherever the blood is flowing, it is of Muslims. Why? Why? The answer to this why is, we are criminals in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We have not established His deen anywhere in the world. Even after independence from the colonial rule, some people turned their faces towards Moscow. That became their qibla. Most of the nations turned their faces to Washington. That was their qibla. No country made Quran its leader. Although we pray, Allahumma arhamna bil Quran al azim waj'alhu lana imaman wa nuran wa hudan wa rahma. Oh Allah, make Quran our imam. We should follow its book of yours. But can you show even a single inch on the whole of the globe? And can you invite people, humanity at large, come and see, this is Islam? No. So we are criminals in the eyes of Allah. Please don't feel offended. Truth is bitter. Before us, there was an ummah, Muslimah. Who were they? The Jews. The people of Torah. And you know, how many prophets were sent to them, we don't know. For 1400 years, there was not a single minute when a prophet was not present among the Jews. Starting from two, Musa and Harun alayhi salam. 1400 years before Christ. Moses and Aaron. And then the chain ended with two again. Jesus and John. Isa and Yahya alayhi salam. And in between these two, always there was a prophet among them. Because there is the hadith in Bukhari. Kanat banu Israel tasusuhumul anbiya. Kullama halaka nabiyun khalafahu nabiyun. So what type of ummah that was? Quran says at four places. At two places the exact same words are repeated. Ya bani Israel askuru ni'mati allati adamtu alaykum wa anni faddaltukum ala alamin. This is not the ayah of Torah. This is ayah of Quran. The first ayah of the sixth section of Surah Al-Baqarah. And again the same words without any difference of jot or dot in the beginning of the 15th section. Ya bani Israel askuru ni'mati allati adamtu alaykum wa anni faddaltukum ala alamin. But what happened to them when they turned their back to the Sharia, when they started innovations, bid'at, when they intermixed with the mushrikeen and got infected with shirk? Because now, to whom Allah gives, whomsoever Allah gives His book and His law, Sharia, that community becomes the representative of Allah on earth. But if by its deeds and actions it misrepresents Allah, then it is worse than the kuffar. That is why the kuffar today, they are prosperous. They are controlling the world. Who are these Americans? Who are these Europeans? They don't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We can say we at least believe in Muhammad. Oh Allah, you should have mercy upon us. But Allah says, look to your deeds. So this up, you know, the Jews were persecuted by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. At the hands of the Assyrians first, then at the hands of the Chaldeans. Bukht-e Nasr came, destroyed their temple, which was built by Hazrat Sulaiman alayhi salatu wasalam, killed hundreds and thousands of Jews. Then after them, the Greeks, Alexander the Great, trampled them. Then after them, the Romans. And lastly, we know, in the previous century, Holocaust, at the hands of German. Why? They think we are the chosen people of the Lord. Even today they say. But why all these punishments came to them? Because they didn't act according to the deen of Allah. They didn't establish the deen of Allah. They didn't made an exemplary Islamic state to show to the whole world, come and see, this is the deen of Allah. And the same thing we are doing today. So Allah's laws are not changed. لَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَحْوِيلًا وَلَن تَجِدَ لِسُنَّةِ اللَّهِ تَبْدِيلًا. When we have done the same has come to us. What happened in Spain after ruling for 800 years? Muslims were massacred like anything. Burnt alive, killed. Or you know, they were thrown in the ships and dumped on the northern coast of Africa. But they were Jews. We are Muslims. The same thing has happened to us. So actually, unless we establish the deen of Allah, Allah's mercy will not come to us. This is a punishment from Him. Whether it comes through the hands of Israel, Yahudis, or the Christians, or the Bharatis, or somebody else. But actually this is the punishment of Allah. America just cannot do anything to any Muslim unless there is permission from Allah. So this is actually the crime is, although mazhab is there, mazhab as Islam as mazhab is widespread. And even today, the world admits that Islam is the fastest growing religion of the world. But only mazhab, aqaid, ibadat, personal piety, personal taqwa, that's all. Nowhere the deen of Allah established. Now this was the mission given to Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُزْهِرَهُ. Make it dominant. Make this deen dominant over ad-deen, the system of life, or the adyan, all the systems of life. There is capitalism, there was socialism, there was communism, there is something else, feudalism, etc., etc. But Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sent to make the deen of Allah supreme and dominant over the whole of the deen. Another expression in Quran is, وَيَكُونَ الدِّينُ كُلَّهُ لِلَّهِ. Deen, system, should be totally under Allah. Not that one part of the deen we accept and the other part we cannot accept. No. If we do that, there is the warning in Surah Al-Baqarah, Ayah 185. أَفَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِبَعْضِ الْكِتَابِ وَتَكْفُرُونَ بِبَعْضِ. فَمَا جَزَاءُ مَنْ يَفْعَلُ ذَلِكَ مِنْكُمْ إِلَّا خِزْيٌ فِي الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. Do you want to accept a part of our deen, our book, our law, our sharia, and reject the other part, leave it away? So whosoever takes to this attitude in life, there will be no punishment for him except extreme humiliation in this world. which we are facing today. Humiliation. 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 Khizyun fil hayati dunya. This is one part of the punishment. The second and more tough punishment is going to come in the hereafter. وَيَوْمَ الْقِيَامَةِ يُرَدُّونَ إِلَىٰ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. Note the word, أَشَدِّ الْعَذَابِ. And on the day of judgment, they will be thrown in the worst punishment. So now, I think this point is clear. That Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a prophet, was a rasul, no doubt. Basic objective of his ministry, basat, was for the same things for which all the Anbiya and Rasul were set. But over and above those things, a special assignment was given to him. That the Deenul Haq, which has come to you, you have to make it supreme, dominant. هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله. You can have a bird's eye view of how tough was this job which was performed by Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. Muhammad Rasulullah wal ladzina ma'ahu ashiddaa'u 'alal kuffari ruhamaa'u bainahum. For 10 years, 12 years at Makkah, what was happening? Muhammad was preaching and people were laughing, saying, oh, he has gone crazy. He is Majnoon. Oh, he has become a good poet. He is Kazzab. All these things were said to him. And you know, in Surah Al-Hijr, Allah Ta'ala says, وَلَقَدْ نَعْلَمُ أَنَّكَ يَزِيقُ صَدْرُكَ بِمَا يَقُولُونَ. Oh Muhammad, we very well know that whatever they are saying about you, it is hurting you. But, oh Muhammad, وَاسْبِرْ عَلَى مَا يَقُولُونَ وَهْجُرْهُمْ هَجْرًا جَمِيلًا. Be patient, persevere. And you have to take all this persecution, whether verbal or physical. Well, physical torture could not come to Muhammad. Very little we find physical torture, because he belonged to Banu Hashim. And Banu Hashim as a clan were behind him till the death of Abu Talib. Although he didn't accept Islam, but he was protecting Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the whole clan of Banu Hashim was behind them. That is why physical torture, there are certain instances. Abu Jahl did something at different occasions, but not what that what was happening to Bilal and Khabbab al-Ard and so on and so forth. So this, and then you know, for 3 long years, this clan of Banu Hashim was confined to the Shaib Bani Hashim, a valley. And on both ends of the valley, there were the guards standing. No eatable can be taken inside. It was worse than the jails. In jails, you know, ration is given. The prisoners are fed. But there, what to speak of any ration? Even friends of Banu Hashim, some of them, if they wanted to take something to Banu Hashim, the Shaib, the valley down, he had to use Hakim ibn Hizam, for example, was one of them, because he was a close relative of Hazrat Khadija radiallahu ta'ala. So he used to climb the whole mountain and then descend down, because he couldn't enter two ends, any of the ends, and he could bring something, that's all. So please, if you have, then there was, in Medina, there were wars, blood was flowing, Sahaba Karam were laying down their lives. Even Muhammad said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لَوَدِدْتُ أَنْ أُقْتَلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ سُمَّ أُحْيَا سُمَّ أُقْتَلَ سُمَّ أُحْيَا سُمَّ أُقْتَلَ. I very much like that I am killed for the sake of Allah. فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ سُمَّ resurrected. Then I should be resurrected. And again I should be killed in the way of Allah. And again I should be resurrected. And again I should be killed in the way of Allah. But, you know, this desire of the Prophet couldn't be granted. He was Rasul. Rasul can never be killed. Nabi can be killed. And we know, Hazrat Yahya was killed, murdered. Zakariya killed, murdered. But no Rasul. كَتَبَ اللَّهُ لَأَغْلِبَنَّ أَنَا وَرُسُلِي Allah has decided that I and my Rasul will be triumphant. So Muhammad couldn't be killed. But his blood definitely fell. In Taif, he was being stoned like anything. The street urchins, they were laughing, clapping, and throwing stones on him. And then in Uhud, the blood gushed out of his cheekbone, and so much blood was flown that he became unconscious. And it was, the rumors spread that he has been killed. He has been martyred. So all these difficulties, all these hardships, even a bird's eye view of that 23 years hardest work. But then, this nusra of Allah came, help from Allah came. إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحِ وَرَأَيْتَ النَّاسَ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا Now people are entering the deen of Allah in armies. Groups and groups of people are coming, tribes after tribe are coming and entering the deen of Allah, deen of Allah. Note the word deen, that system. They are now accepting the supremacy of Islamic law and Islamic state. So actually this was the mission which was assigned to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. First of all, this thing should be clear. I have repeated many times. These words don't occur in Quran even once for any other prophet or messenger of Allah. And they are occurring thrice in case of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Very little attention has been paid to this fact. Even by the ulama. They go and read. And just you know. But what does it mean? Now the final aspect. Another aspect of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was that he was not sent for any one nation, any one community, any one country. But for the whole of mankind. He is the first and the last messenger of Allah sent for the whole of humanity. No messenger of Allah was sent for the whole of humanity before him. He is the first and the last. Before him, the messengers of Allah were sent to the tribes, different nations, communities. إِلَىٰ عَادٍ نَخَاهُمْ هُودَىٰ To the nation of Aad, we sent A brother of theirs known, Akhahum, he was from among the Aad. That is Hud alayhi salatu wasalam. Where are Samuda Akhahum Saliha? To the Samud, the nation, very, very prosperous nation it was. To them, Saleh was sent. Ila Madiana Akhahum Shaiba. Ila Firaona, Musa alayhi salatu wasalam. And so on and so forth. But Muhammad was not sent for any one community. He was Arab. And first of all, he had to preach the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to his community, Quraysh, and the Arabs. But don't think he was sent for Arabs. In the very first khutbah, it's very, very, very beautiful khutbah. In the early days of Makkah, early Makkan period, very early days, when the commandment came from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَأَنزِرْ أَشِيرَتَكَ الْأَقْرَبِينَ O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, start warning your close relatives. Charity should begin from home. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam ordered Hazrat Ali to arrange for a feast. And he called all the Bani Hashim to meals. When they had taken their meals, now the Prophet stood up. He wanted to say something. But people made noise. Abu Jahl, he, you know, what we call, you know, so to disturb the meeting, everything was done, so Huzur couldn't say anything, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he was not disappointed. After a few days, again he said, O Ali, arrange for a feast again. Now when the people had taken meals, I think they could have, they should have, they had some shame that we have taken meals twice. Now let us listen to what he has to say. Then the Messenger of Allah gave the sermon. Inna ra'ida la yakzibu ahla. Wallahi law kazabtu nasa jamiyan ma kazabtukum. Wallahu gharartu nasa jamiyan ma gharartukum. Wallahi lazi la ilaha illahu. إِنِّي لَرَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ خَاصَّةً وَإِلَى النَّاسِ كَافَّةً. For these words I have quoted this. I am the messenger of Allah, particularly towards you, and then for the whole of human race and mankind. And Quran makes it clear in Surah Saba. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَسِيرًا. O Muhammad, we have not sent you, but for the whole of humanity. Now the question is, if Muhammad was sent for the whole of humanity, to make the deen of Allah was necessary, to make it supreme over the whole of the globe, over the whole of the human race, preaching of Islam, for the whole. And that mission, the Prophet, you know, transferred on in the sermon of the last Hajj. فَلْيُبَلِّغِ شَاهِدُ الْغَائِبَ. After giving the final touches to his teachings, then he said, now it is the duty of those who are present here to preach it and convey this message of Allah to all those who are not present here. And that's necessarily included all the humanity that was present at that time and all the human beings which will be coming in this world till the end of this world. This mission is, the burden of this mission is on the shoulders of the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَاكُمْ أُمَّةً وَسَطًا لِتَكُونُوا شُهَدَاءَ عَلَى النَّاسِ وَيَكُونَ الرَّسُولُ عَلَيْكُمْ شَهِيدًا. And for this very purpose, O Muslims, we have made you a good ummah so that you became witness over the whole of humanity and Muhammad becomes witness over you. He will say on the day of judgment, he will stand up as prosecution witness. Oh Allah, your message which came to me, I had conveyed to them. Now they are responsible, they are accountable. And the same thing the ummah will be required to testify. Oh Allah, the deen that came to us through your Messenger Muhammad, we convey to the whole of humanity. And if we can't do it, then we are the criminals in the eyes of Allah. You know this? Let me give you an example. If you send a very important message to some of your brothers or friends, that this work should be done tomorrow, otherwise great loss will come to me. The work was not accomplished. You had the loss. Now you go to, you went to that person, that brother or friend, angrily. Why didn't you do it? I sent you the message. Now who is responsible for my losses? If he says, dear brother, your message was never conveyed to me. Now is there any reason now to be angry with him? Where, towards whom will go the anger? To the messenger. Bhale aadmi tumhare zariye maine wo paigham bheja tha. You didn't do it. So you are responsible for my loss. The same is the thing. Allah sent a messenger for humanity. If he conveys the message, then he has done his duty. But if he fails in that work, he is responsible on the day of judgment. We find in Surah Al-A'raf, ayah number 6, وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الَّذِينَ أُرْسِلَ إِلَيْهِمْ وَلَنَسْأَلَنَّ الْمُرْسَلِينَ We will ask from those also whom to we sent our messengers, and we shall ask the messengers also. They are also ibadullah. Muhammadan Rasulullah وَالَّذِينَ مَعَهُ And our Rasul is also abd. وَنَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدًا عَبْدُهُ وَرَسُولُهُ So now this is the state of affairs today. The Ummah is not doing its duty. And that is why it is being punished by Allah at the hands of some people, some nation. All things is coming, just as to the Bani Israel, at the hands of the Assyrians, at the hands of the Chaldeans, at the hands of the Greeks, at the hands of the Romans, at the hands of the Germans. In the way, same way, the punishment, divine punishment is coming to us. Now, let me tell you one thing. There are clear prophecies of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that before the end of this world, the caliphate in the footprints of Nabuwah will be established over the whole of the earth. This world will not come to an end without the mission of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam succeeding at the global level, because he was sent for the whole of humanity. وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا كَافَّةً لِلنَّاسِ بَشِيرًا وَنَذِيرًا وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ إِلَّا رَحْمَةً لِلْعَالَمِينَ O Muhammad, say to them, قُلْ يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسِ إِنِّي رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكُمْ جَمِيعًا For all communities, all nations of the world, he is the messenger of Allah. And for all people who will be coming in this world, till the day of judgment, till the as-sa'ah, till the qiyamah, to whom? To them, Muhammad is the messenger. So this will happen. You know, there are ahadith. First, for example, one is from Miqdad ibn al-Aswad, radiyallahu ta'ala. And it is here in the Musnad of Ahmad ibn Hanbal, rahimahullah. The Prophet said, according to this hadith, there will remain no house made of bricks and clay, or any tent made of the blankets out of the camel wool, but the deen of Allah will enter it on the whole of the earth. لا يبقى على الأرض بيت وبر ولا مدر إلا أدخله الله الكلمة الإسلام بعز عزيز أو ذل ذليل Either the person, the owner of that house or tent will accept Islam. So Islam will enter his tent or house, honoring him also. وَلِلَّهِ الْعِزَّةُ وَلِرَسُولِهِ وَلِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ عِزَّةُ Respect is for the mu'mineen. So if he accepts Islam, Islam is entering his house, honoring him also. And if not, then he will have to bow down. يَوْتُوا الْجِزْيَةَ يَدِيمْ وَهُمْ سَاغِرُونَ Islam will enter their house or tent also, but they will be deprived of that honor. So this is going to come. This is from Miqdad ibn al-Asad radiyallahu ta'ala. Another hadith from Hazrat Sauban radiyallahu ta'ala. He was a slave of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just like Zayd ibn Harsha. But the Messenger of Allah had set him free. Sauban. عن صوبان مولى رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله زوالي الأرض Verily indeed Allah folded whole the earth for me ان اللہ زوالی الارض فرائت و مشارقہا و مغاربہا سو آئی سا آل دی ایسٹ اینڈ آل دی ویسٹ آف دی ارتھ وَإِنَّ أُمَّتِي سَيَبْلُغُ مُلْكُهَا مَا زُوِئَ لِي مِنْهَا اینڈ ٹیک اٹ فرام می دیٹ مائی اُمَّہ ول گورن اینڈ رول اوور دی ہول آف دی ارتھ وچ واز شون ٹو می بائی فولڈنگ دی ارتھ. دس از ان صحیح آف امام مسلم. دس ول ہیپن وائی؟ بیکاز محمد واز سینٹ ٹو میک دی دین آف اللہ سپریم نمبر ون اینڈ ہی واز سینٹ فار دی ہول آف ہیومینٹی نمبر ٹو. Now you add these premises, what is the result? If it doesn't happen, then Muhammad is unsuccessful. He is a failure. The triumph that came to him in Arabia was the beginning. He made the deen of Allah supreme. Ja al-haqq wa zahaq al-batil. The whole system of life was now under Allah's command. Sovereignty for Allah. لَهُ مُلْكُ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ الْمَلِكُ. He is the Al-Malik. Al-Malik Al-Quddus, Al-Salam, Al-Mu'min, Al-Muhaymin, Al-Aziz, Al-Jabbar, Al-Mutakabbir. So this will happen. And actually then you know, the purpose of the creation of that Adam will be completed. Adam was created to be a caliph of Allah on earth. When you know, the sons of Adam, they will make the deen of Allah supreme over the whole of the globe, then the purpose of the creation of Adam alayhi salam will be completed. وَإِذْ قَالَ رَبُّكَ لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ إِنِّي جَاعِلٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ خَلِيفَةً. So actually, this has to come. It will fulfill the purpose of the creation of Adam alayhi salam, and it will fulfill the purpose, special purpose of the advent of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now this much you may say, this is knowledge, ilm. What are the practical requirements of it? It is for us. Sahaba-e-kiram laid their lives for this purpose. Don't think that only some prayer was made and the whole thing was done. Nothing. Rather, please note, maybe some brothers may not like this, what I am going to say. In this struggle to make the deen of Allah supreme, there was no help of the miracles. Very few miracles. What happened to the people of Musa? Food was given from the atmosphere. Was it given to Muhammad and his companions? For the people of Moses, there were clouds going on, giving shelter when they were traveling in the Sinai Peninsula. Did this happen to the Sahaba-e-Kiram when they were going to Tabuk in the worst summer? No. Do it with your effort, human strength and struggle. So Islam was dominant not through miracles. There was divine help, no doubt. At Badr also divine help came. On the other occasions also, that divine help can now also come. But because now no Nabi will come, no miracle will come. If Muhammad has done that job through miracles, we could say, oh, he was a prophet of Allah. For him there was miracle at every step. He did it. How can we do it? But he did it without the help of miracles. You know the hunger in the Shaybe Bani Hashim? Couldn't Allah send down food? He didn't. Out of human struggle, out of human sacrifice, out of human perseverance, out of human patience, the whole thing was accomplished. what happened in Ghazwa-e Ahzab. You know, 12,000 people, armies from the north, from the south, from the east, they had surrounded Medina, small town, a few thousand people. What happened? When you know that Khandaq was being dug, but there was, you know, no food to eat. And the winter was very strong. In winter, you know, the body needs more of food, more of energy to combat the temperature also. There was nothing, no food. The Sahaba-e-Kiram had tied stones with their bellies so that the spinal bone, you have spine, it should not, you know, bend. This happened. And when some of them came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, O Rasulullah, now it has become unbearable. See, we have tied stones to our bellies. The Prophet lifted his kameez, shirt, and there were two stones tied to his belly. No manno salwa came. Muhammad had to do it through struggle, sacrifice, perseverance. He and his companions. Not only he, but also his companions. So now, I am giving a very strong statement. Whosoever among Muslims doesn't make this purpose of his life the establishment of the deen of Allah, he is not the ummati of Muhammad at all, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Listen again. If you are not striving to your utmost to establish the deen of Allah and to make the deen of Allah supreme, your ibadah is false. You may not be able to do it, that's a different thing. But if you are not struggling for that, well, you are to be blamed. This is the crux of the matter of my talk today. You have to make, as you say, live for Islam, die for Islam. For Allah, we live, for Allah, we die. And you know, our being an ummati of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for that criterion would be, just imagine, when you know the war was going on near Uhud, and the Messenger of Allah and his companions were in the life and death struggle,